God always has more for you today. So if you're in the doldrums and you're hanging useless, realize it's God's nature, so to speak, to give His believers, His followers more.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
I want to present to you one of the greatest ministries right now going on in the United States and all over the world. It is the ministry of Global Awakening. So I'm going to jump right into Dr. Randy Clark's message. It's one that will change your life, your beliefs, your view of what God has for you and what God is doing in the world today. Dr. Randy Clark of Global Awakening.
It's hard to find very many stories of people who were powerfully used and became a history maker. Well, it's hard to be a history maker if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have multiple fillings of the Holy Spirit. And when we think there's only one, then it takes away our hunger, our thirst, our hope, our faith to try, God, touch me again. If you think, well, that doesn't happen. That's doctrinally not right. Yes, it is doctrinally right. It's biblical. Being filled, sometimes I tell you some of the hardest people to get hungry are Pentecostals. Now let me unpack that. That's not meant to be a judgment. It's just meant to be a fact. And here's why. In their theology, you only be baptized in spirit once. And that's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. So once you've had that experience, you don't have an expectation there could be more. But there can be. So there can be more. We were at Oklahoma City, and I'm an Assembly God church. And there's about 30 to 50 pastors there, because a lot of the times it's 30 to 50, and I forget which was where, so I don't know now. But it's 30 to 50 people. And I'm going down, and I don't get a prophecy at all. All I'm doing is just praying for them, touching them, praying for them, and they all fell down. But I couldn't have told you if one of them got more than any of the others. But one of them did get more than all the others. But it wasn't, you couldn't tell by manifestation. And that's the one I want to caution you about. It's not the evidence of how much power you received is not indicated necessarily by how much you manifest when you're prayed for. One of my spiritual sons of late, he has yet to this day to have an eyelid flutter, to have a hand tremble, to have any manifestation at all. And he was raised in Pentecost. His dad, his uncle, all of them are Pentecostal preachers. And when we prayed for him, nothing happened that we could see. And yet, in his church, in the last 2 years, the degree of healing that's broken forth, the words of knowledge that he flows in, that just has been tremendous. But he hasn't had, to this day, any manifestations. And when he came, he said, I've been reading Finney. I want to feel like I'm going to die. I want to feel that electricity going through me. I want to feel that baptism of love. And I said, me too. And I did have it happen once. But it hasn't happened to him yet. But I keep saying, don't be worried about it. Because I'm seeing more power come through and more words of knowledge and more gifts of healing happen in you than many of the people that I have seen have lots of manifestations. It's not that they're not having any. It's just he's having so many. I mean, he's getting names of people. He's getting, somebody's got this condition and you're in that part of the church building today. So let's take the pressure off of expecting any one phenomena. And what we want is Jesus' power to enable us to be his servants, carrying his anointing. Well, so anyway, There's about 30, 50, and they all fall down. 2 months later, I go back to the same city, and they say, have you heard what happened? One of those guys you prayed for. I said, no, I haven't. This guy was a Assemblies of God missionary in Honduras, and he had been there for 30 years, and he was home on leave when I prayed for him, and he went back to Honduras. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes, for some of us, we have so much more happen because our experience changed our theology. Our experience changed our theology about healing. Our experience changed our theology about gifts. Our experience changed our theology about the moving of the Spirit. But if you're already a Pentecostal, you already have a theology that believes in healing. You already have a theology that believes in the gift. So the man's, it wasn't like his theology changed, therefore he saw more. That wasn't the case in his place. His place, he already had theology. He already had, I believe in this. He's already praying for the sick. But in 2 months, he saw more salvations, more healings, and more deliverances in 2 months than he had seen in the preceding 30 years in Honduras. Don't tell me you can't get more at a later filling than you may initially get. And in a way I look at it, you never know. I think there's always more. Heidi says there's always enough. I say there's always more. And if you don't know that there could be more, you say, I've been there, done that. I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've spoken in tongues. I've got all there is. Until your shadow heals the sick, I think there's more. Until pieces of your clothing will bring deliverance and healing, I think there's more for you. I think there's more for me. I think there's more for you. Hunger and faith draw on the anointing. Desperation alone without faith really doesn't draw on the anointing. Desperation can cause us to get hungry and want more, but desperation and faith are not the same thing. But having said that, there are times in these meetings when God just sovereignly chooses to fall on somebody, even sometimes people who's in the meeting that's against it. Even people said, I don't believe in this. And he falls upon them. Even cessationists like Presbyterians or Reformed, which is kind of a Presbyterian is a Reformed theology. Now, this young man, while ago, by the way, I'm wondering, is the man, the Reformed pastor that I talked to, all right, I want to give you 3 minutes. To tell the people, and come on down. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to tell what happened to you at VOA in 2019. So come on down, but tell your story and don't forget about the spiked water part.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, can we hear for Randy Clark and just the way the Lord's used him? So gracious. Randy handed me a mic. I'm a pastor. I went to a Reformed seminary. I was a borderline cessationist. I went to a Reformed theological seminary is the technical term. I had a friend who I reconnected with before VOA 2019. It was the providence of God. And I was a man who came out of seminary very kind of proud, very dry spiritually. I was a man who was also bound. I was an associate pastor at the time, but bound with some addictions I couldn't shake, shame even in my weaker moments, darker moments, thoughts of suicide. And the Lord had a rescue plan for me. It was VOA 2019. And the first time I had a really powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, is this thing called an impartation service. And I went to the back to get some water, as you do. And I was sat down with my wife. And as I took that water, I started feeling like I took a couple drinks of bourbon. And warm and fuzzies, my fingers were tingling. And I kid you not, this is a true story. I started looking for my wife's Nalgene. So I could keep a sample of the water because in my head I was going, man, these charismatics, they spike the punch for these experiences. Because I just took the water, and as Randy was talking, I started feeling this warmth, this presence over me. And so he said, I only want those to come forward who have, after he prayed, he invited those forward that he felt like the Holy Spirit was moving on, and he named all of the experiences I was feeling. So I went forward. I've never done this before. I've never done an altar call. It's not my tribe. And there are people laid out
And I didn't know what the policy is in these circles, and it was keeping me. I had to wait for like 5 minutes because I didn't know the only way I could get to the front was like stepping over somebody. And I didn't know if that was kosher. I was like, is that cool? Like, and finally it's like, man, I got to go to the front. And so I'm like, sorry, as I'm like stepping over him. And I get to the front and nobody touched me. Nobody waved a blazer in my face or anything. And I literally said this. I said, hey man, it was a young dude. He was younger than me. Probably 18, one of the students, now I know one of the students, and I go, I have no idea what's happening, but like, could you pray for me or something? That's literally where I was at. And the only thing he said, he didn't touch me, he said, Holy Spirit, I bless the work you're doing in this man's life, and I hit the floor. Lights out. In the fetal position, like the weighted blanket that Randy talks about, just the peace that surpasses all understanding that's over me, and I know something's happening, I know it's supernatural, I've never encountered that before, but I still have my cognitive function. And as I'm on the floor, I start hearing what I heard seeing some groaning and some laughing, and I get a little nervous, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I say, Lord, is this you, or is this demonic? That's where my heart was at, even as I'm on the laid out on the carpet, and I heard clear as day, this voice. The Lord said, you'll know it by its fruit. You'll know it by its fruit. And there's a whole lot in that statement, because my last 2 years, thanks to this man and Global Awakening and obviously the Holy Spirit, have been life-changing. So an hour later, I get scraped off the carpet. My wife's in the lobby. She has no idea how to register what's happening, but I can barely walk. I'm drunk in the spirit. We had to go to the grocery store to go back to our Airbnb before we came back to the next section to get dinner, all that stuff. So we're walking to a grocery store, like 5 minutes from me leaving an impartation service. This is what I want to say real quick. The pastor me coming out is what the Lord wants to do this afternoon is so much more than what happens in this room. It's what's happening outside the four walls of this church. So 5 minutes from me leaving an impartation service where the Lord is imparting the prophetic, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We go to a grocery store. My wife's asking me what I want for dinner. I'm saying, honey, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever you want. And we make it to the register where we're about to check out. I pass this lady, cart full of stuff, and I immediately have something happen I've never had happen in my entire life. And I hear the voice that I knew was the Lord say, pray for that lady's kids. Pray for that lady's kids. And I don't know what to do. I haven't been trained in this. I'm at the cash register. My wife had to go run back stuff. I'm drunk in the spirit. I can barely function. And there's two cashiers there. She's at my left loading up her groceries. And then finally, when my wife comes back, I just look at her and I ask her, I say, hey, do you have kids? And she was totally weirded out by that, because it's a really weird question to ask a stranger that you've never met before. And she's like, yes, like, you weirdo, get away from me. And then I said, hey, I feel like God wants me to pray for your kids. And she was just really weirded out. And she's like, okay, like, but it's kind of like, can you do that out there? And then I knew I heard so strongly. I said, no, how can I right now pray specifically for your kids? And when I said that, it was like something broke off of her. And she said that, she said, wow, this is crazy. I just left the ICU yesterday, and my little daughter has blood clots. And I was so drunk in spirit. It's either something to do with her heart or her lungs. She just left the ICU. And I was like, hey, let me pray for you right now. Quick prayer. Is that all right? And I pray for her and ask for her daughter's name. And I said, and I just felt the overwhelming love. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you just have so much love for people. You see God's heart for them. And I pray for her. It was crazy. Her eyes were as wide as dinner plates. Holy Spirit was just touching her powerfully. I had no exit plan because I'm like, God bless you, credit card, like, we're out of here. But as I'm walking out, I just hear her say to the cashiers, this is insane. So 5 minutes from me leading an impartation service, some woman I've never met, the impression I was getting that was that she was a single mom, probably mistreated by men her entire life, and the Lord changed that woman's life forever and probably healed her daughter through that prayer. So that was just day two of VOA. I got a whole lot more to share about the other 2 days and subsequent, but I'll pass the mic to the legend here, Randy Clark. Randy, thank you so much for letting me share, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mick. We have this word in Portuguese, Faza Nova Menci. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. And I know that for many of us, that's on our heart. And that's what pulls the anointing. I just try to tell stories and read scripture just to build hunger and thirst. That you'd come to that place underneath your breath, you'd be crying out, and in your heart, God, I really do want you to touch me afresh. I really do want to hear. I really do want to be used. I really do want to feel like ministry is co-laboring, not, it's like I'm the co-pilot, you're the pilot. So much of ministry for me in the early years was, he wasn't even in the airplane, so to speak. I was flying. Or as my friend Tom Latier said, who was a Presbyterian and went with us to Brazil after about 22 years or 12 years, I forgot now. After the week was over, he said, I didn't know ministry could be this much fun. It went from the way to what we need to do to the joy of doing it with him. It went from ought to God came. It makes it exciting. There are so many pastors that resign because they're tired. They feel inadequate. They feel like a failure. Ministry wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Heidi and Roland have told me, unless people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they'll not last on the mission field. So Paul Ung, who is an apostle in Cambodia, who is amazing, we actually have written a book about his life. When he was tortured by both the Vietnamese and the Khmer Rouge, the Vietnamese, they put the electrical things on his hands and they would electrocute him and it would just sap his strength. And when we went back into the place where so many people were killed and tortured, and he broke down, as all he used to talk about, and this cell was a general, and he was killed, and you hear the people screaming all through the night. He went to Toronto and he got touched. He went to Toronto and got touched because within the first week of being there, this young guy, he's 19, the girl, his wife, oh, he's 20, his wife is 18, and they're on their honeymoon, and they're at church on their honeymoon, which blew my mind. That is a level of holiness that I've... But they're in church on their honeymoon, and he's Chinese, and I prayed for him. I prayed for his wife first, and she hits the floor, and she's making all these manifestations. And then I prayed for him. And I remember I prayed, God, I pray that you would anoint him the way you did So Paul Ung in Cambodia. And he opened his eyes. And he said, you know who I am? Yeah, I can read your tag. It's your mic. He said, but you know who I am? I said, no, why? He said, my wife's the daughter of So Paul Ung. She had severe PTSD from the killing fields as a little girl. And for the next two or three nights, she just all night long was on the floor with her arm going around like that as God's healing her of PTSD sovereignly. And God has a way of setting things up and setting people up to really touch them. Sometimes it's just like a sovereign thing. So I want to go back to some scriptures, and then we're going to pray, and then I'll finish the rest of the message. There are seven experiences related to receiving or being filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Luke, who is the theologian of the Holy Spirit, who is the one out of all of the biblical writers that has the most emphasis and concern about the Holy Spirit. But it does not appear that Luke is concerned about trying to tell us what is the evidence of the baptism of the Spirit. It doesn't look like, it doesn't appear that Luke is concerned about us having a schedule of the timing. When does one receive the baptism of the Spirit?
before baptism, at baptism, with laying on hand, without the laying on hands, with this or that evidence. He doesn't give us a pattern. We made the pattern, not Luke. We made the pattern by ignoring certain scriptures and twisting other scriptures that doesn't fit our pattern, whether we're Assemblies of God, Church of God, or Lutheran, or Baptist, or Methodist. And we've made our patterns, but the scriptures don't fit the pattern perfectly at all. And I'll point that out to you. I'm just not going to make a statement. I'm going to show you that. For example, in Acts chapter 2, 4, and 10, you have three fillings of the Holy Spirit without the laying on of hands. In Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, and 19, God uses other people with the laying on of hands. And of these three times, two are apostles and one is a non-apostle. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, not only did they speak in tongues, but they're accused of being drunk. And Peter says, that which you see and hear. What did they see? I'd like to suggest that I've been in a lot of countries. Nobody's ever accused me of being drunk because I was speaking a different language from their language. People don't think you're drunk just because you're speaking in another language. I mean, the miracle of people speaking in a language and you hear them, it's your language, you know they should know your language. Now, that that's a great thing. That is miraculous. I admit that, but there's no reason why that would be connected to being drunk. I want to suggest to you the reason why they were accused of being drunk is because they looked drunk. They were acting drunk. Do you know that amongst drunks, you got crying drunks and you got happy drunks? You got fall down drunk. You got staggering drunk. That wouldn't have made sense to me until 1994. But after 1994, that passage made sense why they could be accused of being drunk. Actually, it was 1984, the first time. So when we continue to look in Acts chapter 19, because some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, tongues happens in Acts 19. Yes, it does. But it's tongues and prophecy was the evidence. What happened? It just wasn't tongues alone. It's tongues and prophecy occurred. In Acts chapter 4, the evidence and it's exactly the same words in Greek and in English. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says, and they spoke in tongues, the Spirit of God enabled them. And then in 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness, which is what they prayed for before this happened. The prayer is that God would stretch forth his hand with signs and wonders and enable his people to proclaim the word of God with boldness. And that prayer is what's answered. And the evidence when the Spirit of God fell upon them, he shook the building that they were in, and they all were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And get this, for at least 120 of them is in the upper room. This is being filled with the Holy Spirit again. You can have multiple fillings of the Holy Spirit. And when we think there's only one, then it takes away our hunger, our thirst, our hope, our faith to try, God, touch me again. If you think, well, that doesn't happen. That's doctrinally not right. Yes, it is doctrinally right. It's biblical. So in Acts chapter 4, the evidence. Say, how do you know if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You speak the word of God with boldness. How do you know you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You have power. How do you know you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You can see what God does through you. It's not so much what he does. I believe this. Do it to them, then do it through them. But sometimes there are some people that they don't have any manifestations, but the way they know that they have been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit is the power that's coming through them. His power, not their power, but his power coming through them. What he does to the other people is the greater evidence. What happens if you have a lot of shaking? Do you know that if you're demonized and the Spirit of God comes on you, you're probably going to shake? Do you know if you're demonized and the Spirit comes on you, it can be really emotional? And sometimes what we say, oh, that's God, when it's really God. And there's a battle going on inside. And some people can have lots of manifestation, but how they steward what happened out of fear and lack of faith is, or getting discouraged, is basically hinders. So it's not today just the experience of being filled or baptized with Spirit, but it's being a good steward of it. It's one thing to have His power. It's another thing to know what it means when you, how to work with God, understanding the ways of God. Exodus 33, Moses said, if I found favor in your sight, then show me or teach me your ways that I may know you. In Acts chapter 8, there, in Samaria, there's visible manifestations when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, but we don't know what they are. But we do know it was visible. You could see they were being filled with the Holy Spirit. But Luke doesn't tell us there even what it is. In Acts chapter 9, when Ananias came to Saul, he came and said, I've been sent by you. But I mean, God spoke to him, set this all up, and told him where Saul was going to be at, where his address was at. Said, I want you to go, and I want you to lay your hands on him. And hands is used here, laid on hands, and so that he might be healed and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's not an apostle. Ananias is not, as far as we know, just as a disciple. Now, so when it comes to timing and, or when it comes to manifestations, watch what I was dealing with there. Now, what about timing? We have whole groups of theologians that says the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at the moment of water baptism. We have other groups. For example, my Heritage Baptist would say the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened when you were born again. So when we look at Luke, though, he's not trying to give us a theology that's a cookie-cutter God, that everything is the same way. We need, if we can allow for diversity, then it means that you can accept my experience about judging it. I can accept your experience about judging it. And the only thing we're really looking for is their fruit, that we have power, not manifestations or the timing. And we can argue and divide over the manifestations and over timing and actually grieve the Holy Spirit, who's consistent with the prayer of Jesus that we'd all be one, that we learn how to love each other. And these things, the Spirit of God was to point to the unity of the church. And that is one of the reasons why in Acts 2 is Jews, in Acts 4 it's Jewish people again, in Acts 8, now you're getting the half-Jews, the Samaritans. In Acts 10, now you're getting God-fearing Gentiles. And in Acts 19, you just got Gentiles. And it was like the Holy Spirit being poured out on these occasions was the way God was breaking through the racial prejudice and the religious prejudice by His Holy Spirit to say, my church is one church, and there's to be no racial issues. There's to be no economic issues between the up and outs and the down and outs. It's to be no ethnic issues. I am accepting not only you Jews, but I'm accepting Samaritans, and I'm accepting Gentile God-fearers who believed in the God of the Jews. And I'm going to accept Gentiles that's coming right out of paganism. In my church, you will find those that's in the house of Herod, and you're going to find slaves. You're going to find people who are sold into slavery. You're going to find people who are poor. You're going to find people who are rich. But you're to be one body. And the way the world is going to know that you're my disciples is by you, the way you love one another. We are to be a model. We are to be a microcosm to our culture. Is there a place where people can love and honor, respect, and work together as brothers and sisters? It was supposed to be the church.
Dr. Randy Clark of Global Awakening.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.